Why is it that some of you guys, I can't get you to worship at all, and then that song comes on, all of a sudden you're like, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There's something about staying planted. How many is getting anything out of this series, being planted, staying planted? Are you getting anything out of this? Raise your hand if God's speaking to you. Yeah. So many of you are getting something. This series is so much an important part of where we're at as a church and in your life. For many of you, you've been in church a long time, and you know what it means to be planted. And this series is re-challenging you to look at stale places in your life and say, God, I need to grow my roots deeper, maybe where I've allowed the weeds or rocks to come and choke out growth. I want to grow my weeds, grow my roots deeper beyond the weeds of life and begin to get planted according to the Word of God says that we are like trees planted by the rivers of water, that we're learning to be strong during the storms of life. Those who grow their roots deep are the ones who survive the storm. Those whose roots aren't deep, those are the ones who get tossed around every time the wind rises up and blows. Every time the big bad wolf huffs and he puffs and tries to blow your house down, if your roots are not deep, it gets blown over. But those who have put their roots deep and say, I am going to be firm where we're at, allowing God to grow us deep, those are the people who sustain. And so for many of you, you're learning to say, you know what, I've got to grow my roots deep. This is a re-challenge for you. For others of you, maybe you've never been taught the importance of being planted in the local place, both spiritually and physically, where God is wanting you to be. So this message is teaching you, discipling you, how the importance of where God has got you planted is so important in your life. The last few weeks, when I spoke about staying in the house. We talked about the prodigal son and all the blessings that came with staying in the house versus the negatives of going out of the house and learning to stay in the house and not allowing things to cause us to get out of the house. Well, today I want to pick it up in 1 Kings. Let's go ahead and I want to talk to you about the thought, God is waiting. God is waiting on you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is waiting on you. How many of us have ever said, I'm waiting on God? I don't know. I've heard anybody who's been a Christian very long at all. I've heard that phrase used a lot in a vocabulary as a Christian. Well, I'm just waiting on God. So I want to reverse that today and challenge you and say, we're not waiting on God, but God's waiting on us. That's the truth of the matter. If we want to be really honest, we can cover it up and say, I'm waiting on God all we want. But the truth of the matter really is this, that God is waiting on us. He's waiting on us, and there's a place that he wants to meet us. Let's pick it up in our story here in 1 Kings chapter 17. The prophet Elijah, God said, go tell the house of Israel that there's going to be a famine in the land, and prophesy that the famine is going to be here for a long season of time. And then after he does this, look what it says in verse 2 of Kings chapter 17. Then the word of the Lord came to him, talking about Elijah, saying, get away from here. Turn eastward and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and that I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. We're not talking about the Baltimore Ravens, okay? We're talking about the ravens from the sky, okay? Now, I command them to feed you there. Look what it says, Elijah. So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because they always do, don't they? The brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Everybody say, provide for you. It's important. We'll get back to this principle in just a little bit. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed he saw the widow who was there gathering sticks. Now let me paraphrase the rest of the story for time's sake. He sees the widow and says, hey, lady. I'll put the nice. Hey, lady, can you please give me a drink of water? I know there's a famine. I'm thirsty. He said, oh, and when you get a drink of water, can you go ahead and bake me a cake? I mean, that's always a great way to introduce yourself to a new woman you never met before. So, what brings you here? Hey, why don't you go bake me a cake? Yeah, you know. All you single guys out there, this is not the best way to pick up chicks, just so you know, okay? Just a little forewarning. But God had already commanded him and said, this, I'm going to provide the widow for you. Here she is. He says, hey, go do this thing. And she's like, listen, I know you're supposed to be some great prophet and all, you know, but if you could really see what God was saying, you would know that I just got a little bit left. And you're asking me to do what I can't do because my plan was to go back and I just got a little bit of oil, little bit of flour left, and I'm going to make a cake for my son and I. We're going to eat one last meal, and because of the famine, we're going to die. This is it. We prepared our last meal. This is our plan. Now you're asking me to give you the very last meal that I had planned for you. And of course, he says, of course, according to the word of the Lord, if you will obey what God has asked you to do for me, God is saying that he will sustain you during this famine and that you will always have enough to be fed for you and your family and your household is what it says. And so she does that, of course, and the word of God says she goes and makes this last bit she has for the prophet. And from that day forward, during the famine, that her oil never went dry and her flour never went empty. And she always had water. And during the, and she had enough to sustain her whole household because she obeyed where God had asked her to be. Now today, turn to your neighbor and say, we're about to keep it real in this place today. We're going to get real today as we always do almost every week here. I say it a lot because we do. I just tell you the truth. I don't have any other way to teach you other than I've got to be real because I'm just to be honest. I'm a real guy. And a lot of times I struggle with real things just like you guys do. And I struggle with things and I'm learning to share out of my own weaknesses and own mistakes and own failures and own successes that I can share things out of my own experience so that God can use it. I believe there's power in transparency. If you don't know it, your pastor is very real and doesn't always wear his pastor's hat very often, okay? I was telling the story the first service that yesterday at a ball game, I was sitting watching my daughter play ball. She was in the tournament there, and she's in a fifth grade tournament in Kansas. And we're there, and there's this man sitting behind me who was playing against our team, and my daughter happens to block the shot of his daughter. And the ref doesn't call anything, and he yells, that's a foul! Oh, my God, that's a foul! That's a foul! Right in my ear. And, of course, I just gently turned around and said, sir, excuse me. That was a clean block. By looking at you, I can tell you never played a play of basketball in your life. I've happened to play the game and coach the game. I know. And the refs agree with me because they didn't blow the foul. That was a clean block. I said it very nicely, to be honest with you. I said it very nicely. And he was like, well, that's my daughter. And that girl was too rough. I'm like, I know she is because I trained her that way. Because that's my daughter. And he goes on to tell me, he goes, how would you like for my fist to go down your throat? This is no lie. And I prayed about it. And I said to the man, what any good evangelist would say, if you're ready to meet Jesus, I can take you to him right now. I can feel the blood boiling right there. And all of a sudden, I just seen the headlines across the papers. And so I just began to kind of calm down. And I looked at his wife, and my wife, of course, got her hand on my shoulder going, honey. I'm like, I don't pastor here, baby. I can do this. And so, anyway, I just said to the lady, I was like, you know, hey, just let's calm it down. You know, that's my daughter, your daughter. It's all right. Just let it go. And he's just giving me these death stares the whole time. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to calm down, and I just controlled myself, you know. So I struggled, but I controlled myself. When I really wanted to push him over the edge, I really could have, but I didn't. But I'm just going to tell you this, that I struggle just like you. I have real instances just like you. And so today we're going to keep it real. I'm going to just tell you that we're going to talk about and make some very real statements about us being planted and what God's design and what our design is totally two different things. Isaiah said that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. So it is possible for us to have one opinion on a matter and God to have a totally other opposite opinion on one matter. Let me say again, even if you're a Christian today, it's possible for us to have one set of standards or one set of opinions on something and God have a totally different opinion on something. And I believe in our lives today that God doesn't always think the way we do. It's possible for me to think a different way than God thinks. And I believe that we don't take, I believe here as a church body, as Christians, that we don't take being planted as serious as God takes it. Let me say again. I believe we don't take the seriousness of being planted in the local church as serious as God does. Because we attend when we feel like it, correct? If I feel like coming, I come. I don't feel like coming, I'm a big boy, I do what I want. If I don't feel like coming, I don't come. If I had a bad week and want to skip, I can do that because I don't take it as serious as God takes it. We don't see the seriousness of being consistent. If I got my hair done on Saturday and it's damp on Sunday, Pastor, if I get out and go to church in that damp air, I'm going to lose all my curl. Well, listen, girl. Believe it or not, I've actually had people tell me that excuse before. Sorry, Pastor, I wasn't there. I got my hair done. It was damp. I just didn't want to mess it up. Come on, guys. You're looking at your wife like, he's preaching to you, honey. But guys, how many of us is like, well, Pastor, the game's coming on, and I was going to come, but, you know, my team was playing at 12 o'clock, and I just couldn't be at church. Like, we don't have a first service you could have came to. Or they make these new things now called DVRs. I know you've never heard of it before, but it can be a Christian man's best friend on Sunday's afternoons. And I say that because I'm just being real, because we've all had those days, right? We've all had those moments when, you know, we allow our opinion of importance of being in the house of the Lord, being planted, different than God's opinion. He made it very clear, and he instructed the disciples and instructed the prophets and say, hey, listen, man, don't forsake coming together. Come together. Be there. Meet regular. Come together. Be there. For God, church attendance is a very serious matter. Why? Because he's exposed to information that you and I don't have. Let me say it again. God is exposed to things about our life that we don't know yet. What I'm saying is this. He knows what's going to happen this week and you don't. And he knows when you're going to run into a storm this week. And if you haven't taken time to get yourself planted, that he knows that you're going to need what's going to happen on Sunday to get you spiritually ready for what's going to happen on Monday. And so even though you may want to not take it very serious and think it's no big deal, they won't miss me. The church is getting big enough now, two services. I just tell Pastor Gene, I was in the first service, you missed me. No, you was asleep. But what happens is this, is we don't take it near as serious as God does. Because God's like, I've got a plan for you. I've got information that you're going to need something this week, and I'm wanting to meet you at a place to prepare you so that you can be sustained through the storm that's going to come in your life just ahead. He knows that. And so he knows the environment that we need to be plugged into to sustain us during our time of famine, during our time of storm. For God's a very serious thing. He knows the environment that is best fits us to grow best. If you haven't caught the first couple of sermons in the series, go back. Listen to those online, because I defend this when I talk about creation and environment and how much is important to God by how much time he spends creating the environment before he ever creates the man. Look at the statement I made, and I want you to write it down. One's, in case you don't know what that means, that's us, okay? One's well-being is not just determined by who you are, but where you are. Our well-being is not just determined by who you are, but where you are. Now, as parents, anybody who is a good parent at all, you have learned the value of instilling in your children who they are. You are beautiful. You are a person that God has called. You're a person who is smart. You is important. You know, we steal these things. And our children, we're constantly doing these things, talking to our children. You tell them, you know what? This is who you are. You're a gold. You know that golds, we take things, we're at going to be a church. We're doing this, and we tell our parents who we are. We're Martinez's. We don't do this. We do this, and we're going to be in the house of God. We're Dillard's. We make our decision. We're implying. We don't miss school. We make good grades. We don't talk in class. You know, we try to instill all these things to them. Why? Because we're trying to create who they are, value to them. We do this as parents, right? Okay. But how many of us have done that, talking about how they affects them by who they are, but that's not the only ingredient. Their environment is just as much as important as what's going on the inside. How many people have we known that have come out of hard environments, and when they come out of it and make it past that and become something in life, we're like, yay, good for them. They got out of their environment and made something of themselves. Justin, you were watching that movie the other night, and you was talking about it on Facebook. I'm glad you had something good to say on Facebook so I could bring it up in our message. But anyway, he was talking about that movie, The Pursuit of Happiness, that starred Will Smith, and how the man, you know, had a single dad, had to scrape his way through and get himself as an intern and just living on the streets and in the shelter. And it was a hard struggle, and how that really, you know, the guy finally made it to Wall Street and become what he had a dream to be. And we look at that and we, yes, why? Because he was not a product of his environment. His environment wanted to keep him living on the streets, a single dad poor, but he scraped his way out of that environment to become something of itself. Because we got to realize this, that our environment is just as important as what's going on the inside. And that's why environments are important to God, because this is what either makes or breaks us. Our environments are either growing us or they're stopping growth in our life. Our environments have the power to grow us or the power to stop growth. Let me say again. Our environments have the power to grow us or to stop growth. The Christian faith is about believing, right? But it's also about belonging to the body of Christ. I made a statement a few weeks ago. I want to repeat it to you right now. Church is not about the building, and that's correct. You said it before. But church is about the gathering of people, the assembling together of people, the body of Christ. And if we're ever called to think that you're called to be solo, a solo Christian, that's nowhere to be found in Scripture. God has always designed a Christian walk for us to be connected to the body of Christ so that he can give you spiritual gifts by his Spirit that you can minister to other people. He says, pray one for another. Carry each other's burdens. Minister one to another. Encourage one another. I mean, we're called to use our spiritual giftings to encourage the whole body. Why would he give us spiritual giftings if it was just important that we keep them to ourselves? No, he wants us a part of the body. I want to back us up in Proverbs 13:20. Let's look at this simple statement. Such a wise proverb here. It says, walk with the wise and become what? Wise. Let's say again, walk with the wise and become wise. Right? Preston, walk with the wise and become wise. Right? This is my kids. We're having this moment right here. For a companion, look what it says now. For a companion of fools suffers harm. It doesn't say a fool suffers harm. We all know that. But it says if you're friends and hang out with fools, you're going to suffer harm too. So what it's saying is this. You can be as wise on the inside as you want to be. But if you're hanging out with the fools, you're going to suffer harm. Why? Because the environment matters to God. Listen to me. This is why as teenagers, that the God is trying to instruct your parents to say, you know what? Who am I hanging out with? I wish my parents wouldn't tell me who to hang out with. They're trying to choose my friends. And man, they don't know. They're so irrelevant. They don't know what's going on today. They're so out of touch. And man, they don't know anything. And trying to choose my friends. Why? Because we know that this styles may change. And you're wearing the same things we wore in the 80s, so you ain't that fresh. But let me tell you this right now. We were wearing Vans long before they were cool. Okay. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. All right. But we know this, that who you hang out with is going to determine your future. Your environment matters. Not only what God's doing on the inside of you, but who do you hang around? But how hypocritical of us parents. Now, teens, I'm going to get on your parents now. Is that all right? Okay. Say, sick them, Pastor Gene. Come on. Let me hear teens go, oh, oh, oh. There you go. There you go. All right. This is what parents, how hypocritical of us to do this. To tell our kids, watch out who you hang around. If they're bad news, don't hang around them. But when we go out and hang around with everybody else, who's not good for us as well. Well, I'm stronger than that, Pastor Gene. I've grown. I can handle the person who gossips their mouth all the time. I can handle this person who's always... No. He says, if you hang around a fool, you're going to... Not that you're a fool, but you're going to suffer harm just by being around them all the time. So there's a reason why we got to get planted in the place that God has called us to be. Because he realizes the growth that comes when we surround ourselves with a positive environment that he is calling us to be. Satan knows this. Look, Satan knows that our spiritual strength is connected to our church attendance and where we are planted. Satan knows that our spiritual strength is connected to our church attendance and where we are planted. That's why he's going to fight you. That's why on Sunday morning everything's going to go wrong. It can go wrong. Your iron's going to break. You can't find the matching shoes. No one's got matching socks. You can't find any clean underwear. The dryer went off in the middle of the night. Your clothes are still wet in the dryer. You're going to wear to church. The alarm didn't go off. All of a sudden, electricity goes out. Only on your block, nobody else's block, right? Oh, your current, your blow dryer quit in the middle of the night. The blow dryer demon came in and went, bah! You know, it happened. Why is that? Because Satan knows that he wants to do anything he can to keep you out of the place that God's wanting to plant you. He knows that your spiritual growth is connected to the place God's got you. That's why I teach it all the time here. This isn't the first time I've taught this. That, you know, on Saturday, you need to be preparing for Sunday on Saturday. So that you got the kids' clothes laid out. You need to iron the clothes Saturday night before you go to bed. Have the shoes all out. The matching socks already there. Had the babies for me prepared. Have the diaper bag ready to go. Double check everything. Why? Because if it can go wrong, it'll happen on Sunday morning. Because he's going to do everything he can to fight you from being disconnected in the physical place that God's wanting you to grow. He wants to pull you out of not only the physical place, but the spiritual place. If he can pull you out of the place of prayer, where God's meeting you, then he is going to cause you not to be as strong. If he can cause you to stop being... So you know what? I'm going to quit separating myself. You know, we make this vow to God. I'm going to separate myself to God. I'm going to live strong. If I can get him away from that separation spirit of saying I'm going to place myself separate for God, he's getting you weak. If I can separate from worship, he's getting you weak. If I can separate you from studying of God's word, reading of the word of the Lord, which brings life, correction, it's our daily bread. If I can get you away from that, then he's bringing us malnutrition. See, when we see the scripture, we see that scripture always has, remember what I taught you, that scripture always has a natural meaning and a spiritual meaning. We see this all through scripture. When we see stories about Jesus healing the physical blind eyes, where Jesus touched those who were blind, we can preach and say, Jesus has the power to heal, and we know that. But also we can preach and say that even when my spiritual eyes were blinded, that Jesus has a way of touching my spiritual eyes, causing the spiritual scales to fall off and I can see. Oh, I see the Lord now. He causes my ears to open up. Yes, he heals the deaf ears, but he also does it spiritually. He causes my deaf ears spiritually to open up and to hear. When the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea, the waters parted and they passed through. Yes, he caused them to pass through those parting of the water and getting to the place and saying, all right, now we're pursuing the blessed place, the promised land that God has for us. We're leaving that slave behind and we're going to a new place in God. God says, I've got a place of water baptism. When you come, you're baptized through the waters and you come out a new creation. And you say, I'm leaving that old man behind and I'm pursuing this new man that God's calling me to. See, all through scripture, we see the physical story. Then we also see the spiritual reflection. Today, as I talk about this story in 1 Kings, I've never taught the story this way before, but I believe it's going to bring you some insight today. As we talk about another spiritual side of the story that we just read as we opened up our text today in 1 Kings 17. He prophesied that a famine was coming. Famine can mean the famine of the water, that no crops are growing, there's no water, no rain coming. He says, prophesies that a famine is coming, and it's here for a long season of time. And I'll just tell you this, God, I don't know if God actually caused the famine to come or if the famine was coming and God used it. But either way, whether God caused it doesn't make a difference. The situation is this. God may have not caused the famine, but God will always use the famine to correct things that were out of alignment in our lives. He was using the famine to correct Israel, who had turned their heart from God. They allow other idols to come up in their life. They had allowed their dedication for God to dwindle away. And so he said, Elijah, go prophesy to the prophets and tell them, I'm sending the famine. So these people get back right with me. They realize where their provision comes from. That they get back to meeting me where I'm at. And so he prophesies. Can you imagine having to prophesy that there's going to be a famine in the land and you live in that land? I mean, think about that. He asked Elijah to prophesy about the famine in the very land that Elijah was living in. Now, if he was a traveling evangelist, that would have been really easy. You guys are going to have a famine. I'm going to a different country for a while. But God called him to stay there. He said, all right, Elijah, because you have been faithful, even though I'm bringing a famine, and listen, catch this, even though I'm bringing a famine to the land, he says, because you have kept yourself planted, this is what I'm going to do. You go down to the brook of Cherith, and you wait there, because I'm going to cause the waters to run in that brook. The rest of the waters are going to dry up, but where you're at that brook, the waters are going to run, and you won't thirst. Oh, there's a famine in the land, but don't worry, because I'm going to send the ravens of the air to bring you meals in the morning and meals at night. How many know that God's all about room service? So that is great. And so he calls him to be at a place, and Elijah goes to the place, and it was there that God sustains him. See, sometimes the only way God can get our attention is through a famine. Sometimes the only way God can get our attention is through a famine in our life. God will use natural circumstances to produce supernatural change in our life. He'll use our famine to get us planted where we need to be, both physically and spiritually. So he uses Elijah to prophesy about the famine, and he tells them where to go to be sustained during the famine. God sustained Elijah because he was planted. Then we see the story in 1 Kings 17:3-4, and he tells them what to do about the ravens and the brook. And he says, you go to this place, and this is where I will bring the provision you need. And look at this statement. Provision doesn't meet me, but it waits for me to be in the place I'm supposed to be planted. Think about that. Provision doesn't meet me where I'm at, but it waits for me in the place where I'm supposed to be. The problem is this. That most Christians have is this. We ask God to send the ravens where we are today instead of being where God's called us to be. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's about to get real. It's about to get real. Let's just be really honest. How many of us are so bad at this that we say, God, send your ravens. Lord, I need provision for this. I need provision for that. And we're crying out to God to do this and that. And God's like, I've got the provision, but you're not where I told you to be. I've called you to be at a certain place. I've called you to meet me somewhere, and you're not showing up. And we're like, God, where are you? He's like, I'm where I told you I was going to be. This is no secret. I told you where to be planted. I told you I would meet you there. I told you I would grow you there. I told you I would provide for you there. And then we never show up. And then we're like, God, where's my raven? God, why is my brook dried up? God, why is no raven feeding me? Because I'm not at the place God is wanting to plant me. And so I've got to learn that my provision comes when I'm planted in the place God is calling me to be. Are you getting this today? Are you understanding what I'm saying? That the provision of God comes when I plant myself where I need to be. How many know that ravens don't naturally give food up, right? I mean, if you ever watch any kind of, You've seen this. You go on YouTube today, and you can see it on YouTube now, where birds of the air coming down, and people trying to feed the ducks or feed the fish or whatever, and all of a sudden some bird comes out here. People are like, ah! Takes the whole loaf of bread out of their hand and takes off line. Or a fisherman's catching a fish, and that bird swoops in and catches it off the line. He's like, whoa, you know? Birds are takers, they're not givers. Unless you go to Popeyes or KFC, we ain't getting nothing from the birds today. I'm not even going to go there. Okay, I have some things I want to say. My mind's going to get back on track. Okay. Ravens aren't natural givers, are they? They don't naturally give up food. This is what I'm going to tell you today. But when you are planted where God has called you to be planted, that God would cause the ravens in your life who don't normally give up things to open up their hand and to give you provision. When you're planted where you need to be, when you're meeting God where He's called you to be, when you're meeting Him in prayer where He's asked you to meet Him, when you're studying His Word where He's asked you to study, when you're planted in the church on a faithful thing as you can be, then God causes the ravens in your life to open up. That boss who hasn't given a raise to anybody in 10 years looks at you and gives you a raise. Don't even know why they did it. Makes no sense. Why? Because you are planted where God's called you and He's opening a provision to sustain you. And I love this story because this woman, it didn't say that she fed him and then all of a sudden she got buckets and buckets and barrels of oil and flour. But it said that what she had lasted, sustained all through the famine. And sometimes your blessing is not going to come in multiplication. Your blessing is going to come when you don't have very much and God takes what you have and sustains you through a drought. Yeah, it doesn't mean it won't be a tough season. It may seem like you're getting things out a handful of time, but I look back and say, God, I don't know how I planted a church with 5 kids. I don't know how we did it. Like, God, how do we do that? Why? God sustained when I was planted where God called me to be. And He allowed us, no matter what, He took the little we had in our hand and He always stretched it out. Are you getting me today? When we are planted, the provision of God comes when you're planted where God's called you to be. And we got to realize this, that, you know, society is not going to instill this in us. They're going to fill your schedule up with everything else. They're going to fill your schedule up. They don't have any respect for Sundays no more. It's gone. There was a time when Sundays were sacred, but it's not happening anymore. And so for you and your house, you're going to have to make a decision. Are we planted or not? Now, I know there's going to be occasions. If your kids are playing any kind of ball at all, there's things that are out of your control. There's going to be times maybe you have a tournament out of town or something's happening. But as a parent, you've got to bring balance to your family and realize when things are getting out of control, when it goes from this season to this season and from this season to this season, and pretty soon you look back and say, boy, we won't be in church about half the time we should have been this year. I've got, as a parent, I've got to steward that better. I've got to put them on places to be in the house of the Lord as much as I can. Why? Because society's not going to do it. You've got to do it. We've got to make sure that we are bringing that in. And I feel you because, man, I've got kids right out there with you. It's a tough schedule to do. There's been times I've had to send my kids with the coach and say, hey, you know, we can't be there. They'll be the first service, pick them up between services, and they head out the door. It happens. So I know it's not always easy. But what I'm saying is this. We got to make sure that we decide, as for me and my house, we're going to stay planted in the house of the Lord. And when I'm where God is calling me to be, that's where the provision of God finds me. And it's not just on Sunday. Am I there on Monday where He's called me to be? How many love the fast? How many did the 21-day fast? Raise your hand if you participated at all in the 21-day fast. Several of you. And I heard so many people talking about how, man, my focus was clearer. I could hear the voice of God clear. I had direction in my life. Confirmation. Why? Because you have met God where He's called you to be. Because that's where He's at. We see this principle all through Scripture. That God is at a place. God never makes us to make idols out of our places, but He moves us from time to time. Why? Because He's trying to prove to us He allowed the brook to dry up. Why? Because he said, hey, the brook's drying up. The ravens aren't coming no more. So now I want you to go to this city and you ask this widow to cook for you. And she's going to have enough food. Why is that? Because God was reminding Elijah that the brook is not what's feeding you. The ravens is not what's feeding you. I'm the one that's feeding you. So he had to be obedient. And when he obeyed and was planted where God told him to be, that's when he walked in his miracle. Same thing in our life. We got to be. He told Abraham, Abraham, take your son to Mount Moriah and sacrifice. Remember that sacrifice? And he calls Abraham to go to Mount Moriah. What if Abraham said, God, Mount Moriah is a little too far from me, but there's a mountain over here that I like a little better. And if we're going to do this, let's just get it over with, you know, and, you know, I'll do that. Why is it important? Because what you got to realize, on his journey to Mount Moriah, as he's going up the mountain, carrying his son up the mountain, that on the other side of the mountain, that God had already prepared and called a ram to go up the other side of the mountain and be caught in the thicket that would become the substitution for the sacrifice. I want you to open your eyes spiritually and see what I'm saying is this, that many times that God's got the answer already on the way and you don't even see it coming up the other side of the mountain. But when you get to the place that God's calling you and you struggle through those decisions and you climb up that mountain when the society says, no, go to this mountain over here. It's smaller. It's an easier road to travel. But say, no. God told me to travel this road. God told me to walk this way. You may not raise your kids this way, but God told me I'm going to raise my kids this way. You may not have your house, but God told me I got to be there. You may not give jack squat to the Lord, but God told me I'm going to give my offerings to the Lord. And I'm going to walk it no matter how hard it is. And when I do that, what I don't see is the miracle that God has got for me is coming up the other side of the mountain. And we'll miss it if we're not where God has instructed us to be. Think about Jonah. He called Jonah to go to Nineveh. He said, I ain't going out to Nineveh. Those people are crazy, God. I'm going the opposite direction. And of course, as he gets in the boat to go the opposite direction, the winds of the sea came, the storm comes, and they say, hey, man, there's something going on. Jonah's like, it's me. God called me to go to Nineveh, but I didn't go there. They're like, well, you're getting off the boat. So they throw him off the boat. The whale comes and swallows him up. Remember, he spends 3 days in the belly of the whale. Finally, he's like, God, I'll go where you called me to be. And at that point, he causes the whale to go up on shore and to regurgitate him up on the shore. Why is this important? Because if he had just been where God had called him to be, he could have avoided that whale. How many of us have our own plan and we don't go where God's called us to be and we have whales in our life that show up? I can tell you this, sometimes I'm not always the smartest person. I can be very stubborn. But I've learned this. When I go through a lesson, I say, God, I do not want to repeat that same mistake. I am not going to go back to that person I used to be. I am not going to keep doing the same thing that got me in that situation. I am going to begin to dig my way out, hear your voice, and get to the place you're calling me to be. In our life, we got to say, God, where are you calling me to be? How many of us does he call and say, hey, I want to meet you every morning? And you say, God, I can't wait to get to my devotions with you. I want to set my alarm for 20, 30 minutes early before the house gets up, and I'm gonna be ready. And I'm going to meet you every morning with my cup of coffee. My planner's there. My notebook's opened up. And we do it for like 3 days, and then after that, you're like, ah, oh, snooze, snooze, snooze. And we're like, God, why aren't you talking? And God's like, I showed up. I was there I told you to be there. You said, yeah, I was there. I'm showing up every morning for those devotions. You're not there. God, I'm going to turn my car into a sanctuary. When I'm heading to work, I'm going to put on worship. And God, I'm going to pray on my way to work. And instead, we're like, I wonder who won the game last night. And we got sports radio on. And we got talk radio on. And we quit listening to worship music on the way to work. And like, God, why aren't you talking to me anymore? And God's like, I was there. You wasn't there. Oh, you were there physically, but you wasn't there mentally, spiritually. You were not there. See, God's showing up. And this is the problem right here. It's the last statement I want to make to you. It's not that God's not speaking. It's not that God's not speaking. It's that we have not gone where God wants to meet us. It's not that God's not speaking. He's speaking all the time. God is speaking today. But those who are planted where God has called you to be planted, those are the ones that will hear God's voice. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. From the Lord, he said, this is what he told Jeremiah. Rise, go down to the potter's house. We're not talking about T.D. Jakes' church. We're talking about the real potter's house, okay? And there, I will cause you to hear my words. Why is this important? Because God was trying to teach Jeremiah something. And if Jeremiah would have said, all right, God, you called me to go down to the potter's house and watch them make clay and how they form clay and how they form the shape of the vessels and the vases and all these bowls and things. I see them making them. I see them crumble up and I see them being reformed, reshaped, being molded. And God says, I'm going to speak to you there at the potter's house. What if he said, you know what? God, I think I'd rather go over here to Walmart and walk there. Well, look at those bowls there. All those vases are already made and pre-made and those are nice. God, that was great. He'd have missed out on everything God was wanting to teach him. But he showed up at the potter's house, and as the potter's making the clay, God says, listen, this is the way my church is. You tell the church this is the way I am right now, that I am forming them. And when mistakes happen, imperfections happen, that I crumble them up and I reform them again and I make them into pure vessels. And even though they go through the fire, they come out solid. They're sticking with me. I mean, he revelations this whole thing, this whole teaching. Jeremiah said, now, you share this with the house of Israel. Why did he speak this message? Because Jeremiah was where God said to meet him. Are we catching this? He was there where God said to meet him. And the problem is this that we have today, as I close. The problem we have today is this, is that we let everybody else, Hollywood, media, people, influence us more than we let God. We get planted where they tell us to plant, where the society pushes around and tells us where they think we should plant ourselves at. And God's like, I'm not going to meet you there. That's not where I told you. That's not where I instructed you. He goes, no, I want you to. Don't forsake coming together. Don't forsake coming together, because where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm going to be in their midst. He said, you're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover. You're going to pray one for another. Miracles are going to happen. You're going to carry each other's burdens. He says, no, come together. He said, when praises go up, that the rain from heaven comes down. When worship goes up, that worship from heaven comes down. I cleanse you there. I strengthen you there. I speak to your heart there. I make your heart open. It's there. And God, I told you. God says, I want you to meet me tomorrow. And he's like, all right, God, I'll be there. God says, I'll be there. I'm going to show you things you have never seen. I'm going to be there. Our prayer is this, is that we will stop letting everybody else tell us what's right and what's wrong. Stop letting everybody else dictate what our schedule is and say, God, as for me in my life, as for me and my family, we're going to be planted in the house of the Lord, both physically and spiritually, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to show up at the place you called me to be. We let way too many people influence us. I'm sorry, Mr. McLemore. But we don't all serve one God. There is only one God. If you don't know who that is, you ain't missing nothing. I'm just telling those, a lot of people know who I'm talking about today. You got a song that says, we're all serving just one God. They're all different gods, but they're just one God. No, they're not. Scripture is very clear. There's only one God. That every name is under his name. That every knee should bow to him. And we can't confuse the message of love with the message of the cross. And we can't confuse the message of the cross with what God's word says I'm supposed to live my life. And I will never understand it. I will never get full grip of it until I get planted where God's calling me to be. both spiritually and physically. Get into the house of the Lord when I can. And when on Mondays, like I say, God, where am I meeting you today? Where have you called me to meet you today? Is it in my car on the drive? Is it in the morning? Is it at night before my kids go to bed, before I go to bed? When is that time that I meet you and you're there? I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet today. I'm going to say, Pastor, I am wanting so much this year that God to plant me deeper than he's ever planted me before in my life. But I'm ready. I'm ready to go deeper than I've ever gone before. I want my roots to go deeper. I'm tired of letting other things take away my roots from growing. But I want to grow my roots deep as I can in God this year. Not only in the house of the Lord, but also in the spiritual place that God is calling me to be. If you want to come into agreement with that word spoken today over your life, join me around the front today. As we close out this time, if you're a guest today, you're more than welcome to join us in the front as well. Nobody's going to do anything to you today. We're just going to come together and we're going to worship at the very end here together. So something about the power of coming together at the front and worshiping together and stepping out and saying, I'm stepping into agreement with the word of God spoken over my life today. Scoot into the front, guys. Make room for those coming behind you. We're going to sing this simple song. This is the air I breathe. How many know that when you breathe in the air of the Lord, it's like fresh oxygen. And it comes to you, man, like smoke maybe around you, choking you out. But when you say, God, I'm going to breathe your air. Wow, life comes. Life comes. When I say, God, I want your daily bread in my life. Lord, I want to learn to eat at your table every day. I want to learn to be planted at the table of the Lord. Not just on Sunday, but on Monday, on Wednesday, on Friday. That I'm planting myself where God wants me to be. Come on, let's make it personal to him.
Would you just close your eyes and just sing this morning? Oh, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. So this is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Oh Lord. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Come on, real soft, sing it. And I'm desperate for.
Your hands this morning. Father, right now, Lord, I pray for every person in this room that God, you are growing us up, Lord, in you, and you are planting us. And Father, right now, I pray that we continue through this whole series that God, you are refocusing our priorities, our values, and God, right now, you're causing us to lay aside selfishness, you're causing us to lay aside things in our life, and God, you're allowing the truth of the gospel to grow us. It's correcting us and it's challenging us to grow our roots deep. So, Father, we repent now, God, of anything that stopped us from being in the place you've called us to be. Whether it's our own selfishness or it's just circumstance, whatever to be the reason, God, we just repent now, God. Forgive us, Lord, that we have failed to show up where you've called us to be. But, Father, I pray right now, I pray that, Father, we will get up tomorrow. Father, we will find you at the place that you've called us to be. And we'll meet you daily, not just on Sunday, but on Monday And God, you're growing these roots deep. And God, I pray right now that God, there's something happening in the spirit in this church. That God, you're moving some people to a different level. God, you're moving them to a higher dimension, Lord, from glory to glory. God, there's something happening as they're saying yes to your spirit, as they're saying yes to your will. God, right now, I thank you, Lord, because I see change. I see change in so many people, God, in attitudes, Lord, and desire to put you first. Lord, from students to families to singles to moms and dads. Lord, you're changing our hearts. And Father, right now, as your pastor, I cover them right now with prayers. And I call out the things of God in their life right now. And God, we are not going to allow Satan to crowd out this thing. But God, we're going to grow our roots deep. We're going to be more hungry for you than we've ever been in our life. God, we're going to be desperate for you. And God, we're going to connect to you. And we're going to show up where you've called us to be, in the house of the Lord. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray right now that the spirit, Lord, of faithfulness, a spirit of determination, of boldness, would rise up within us. And Father, we will be there. We will be there. We'll meet you in the house of the Lord. We'll meet you in the place you destined us. Come on, one more time, make it personal. Come on, declare it. Some people in this room right now, the Holy Spirit is just moving very sweetly. He's talking to your heart right now. He said, it's time. It's time. It's your season. It's your season. God says, it's your season. It's your season to step up and to be planted. That you've allowed too many things to distract you. You've allowed too many things to keep you distracted. And God says, son and daughter, I have called you. I have got so much. I'm ready to give. If you'll just step through that door right now, step through that door and say, God, I'm ready to be planted in your house. I'm ready to be planted in your presence. God, I want to pursue you more than anything in my life. God says, cry out to me today. Cry out to me today and I will meet you. I've got more ravens. I've got more brooks to unload in your life. I've got provision waiting, but come to me. Meet me. Meet me. Father, right now, God, we pray to you, Lord. We call out to you. God, we need you. Lord, we need you. We need you, God. God, we need you. Lord, take us to a place we've never been. Take us to a place, God, in our life, a season. A season, God, of walking next to you, of hearing your voice. A season, God, of you feeding us, you training us, changing us, stretching us. This is the air we breathe today, God. That we are nothing without you. And that we need you, God, in our life. One more time, I'm going to invite you. If you just raise your hands and say, God, that's me today. Lord, I need you in my own life. Come on, just cry out to him one more time. Come on, just cry out to him. Say, God, I need you today. Come on, take me to the place, God, where my heart is tender to you. Take me to the place where my pride falls in your presence. Take me to the place, God, where I tear down walls in my life. And God, I want you more than anything. Yes, Lord. God, we need you. Yes, God. Yet I want you, God. I want you more than anything, Lord. I want you more than anything in my life, God. More than anything, God. I want you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Yeah, yes. Oh, we love you, Lord. Yeah. So the question I have for you today, where has God called you? I'm not just talking about the house of the Lord. I'm talking about where has he told you, I'm ready to meet you. Where's God said, I want to meet you this week? Show up. Be there because he's waiting. He's waiting. He's got the ravens ready. He's got the brook ready. Show up. He's there. He's ready. Show up in faith. It took a lot of faith for Elijah to go hang out at the brook when there's a famine, there's no water in the land. But that particular place of the brook he was at, God kept it sustained for him. Show up. A pastor, I showed up before. It didn't seem like, no, you show up. It may seem dry, but you never know when God's going to release. He says, I will meet you there. Show up out of obedience. Show up out of faith and see if he doesn't meet you there. You received that word today. Put your hands together. I received that word, God. Amen. Let me tell you right now, I love every one of you here. And you know that, don't you? You know I love you very, very much. So proud of you. So proud of you. You're here today. And man, you're making the efforts to be here. I appreciate you very, very much. I'm so excited about what God's going to do in your life this year. It's going to be so, so awesome to see everything that God does in your life. As you say, this is my new season, God. This is my new season. I'm ready. I'm ready. Turn around, get someone a hug or a high five and say, man, God is good. God bless you today.